نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand, your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. This evening we want to read from the book Nubdhatun Mukhtasaratun min Nasa'ihi Walidi Al-Allama Muqbil Ibn Hadi Al-Wadi'i wa Siratihi Al-Atira. Ta'lif Umi Abdillah bint Sheikh Muqbil Ibn Hadi Al-Wadi'i. That means some short pieces of advice from my father, the great scholar Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, and his life, written by Abdullah, the daughter of Shaykh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i. And we want to read from the section Ma'a an-nasa'ihi wat-tawjihat, or along with pieces of advice and direction. Abdullah, حفظها الله, the daughter of the Shaykh, she says, these pieces of advice, my father, rahimahullah, he would give during his durus, or his lessons or lectures, because of their importance, as these pieces of advice should be written down with golden ink, or with tears, or as she means. And I used to write these pieces of advice, and some of them were answers to questions that the Shaykh was asked. From his advice and guidance and direction for us is, number one, the Shaykh would oftentimes give advice to the importance of aqidah. As he would say, giving importance to the affairs of aqidah or belief is a very important issue. Because the Muslim without an aqidah or belief, He's not able to stand firmly in front of his enemy. And he is not able to conduct himself Islamically. And because of this, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam began with the aqidah. And his whole life was da'wah to the aqidah. And then the ahkam and the a'mal, or the verdicts and the actions, they are intermingled in with the aqidah. This is the first piece of advice from the Shaykh Muqbil Ibn Hadi Al-Wadi'i, our Shaykh Rahimahullah. Point number two, he used to advise to be concerned or to give importance to the da'wah to at-tawheed. And indeed he has said, and that is that once they love the tawheed and they know him, meaning Allah Ta'ala, then they will submit to everything else that comes along. And if they free themselves from shirk or associating partners with Allah in worship, then it is easier for them to free themselves from everything else. I just want to add a quick clarification between the two points, as she, Abdullah, hafizah Allah, she says that the first point that the Shaykh would give would advise to be concerned with the aqidah, and then in the second point to be concerned with the tawheed. The aqidah is the general belief, and the tawheed specifically refers to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam. Point number three, he would advise with uprightness or integrity. And he would say, if we are upright, then we would be given help or victory. Because Allah has promised us help and victory. As He Ta'ala has said, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. And this is from Surah Muhammad, verse number 7, where Allah Ta'ala says, if you help Allah, Allah would help you and make your feet firm. وقال تعالى والذين اهتدوا زادهم هدى وآتاهم تقواهم. This is also from Surah Muhammad. They have here also verse number 7. But in fact, this is verse number 17, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, and those who are guided, we increase them in guidance, and we give them their taqwa. So you, O student of knowledge, you are more worthy to be upright and to have integrity or sincerity and correctness. Thereby, if you have that, you would not wipe out or efface your clear knowledge or your insight. As Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. From Surah Al-Saff, verse number 5, where Allah Ta'ala says, and when they went astray, Allah led their hearts astray, and Allah would not guide the fasiqun. The fasiqun are those who are outside of being obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وقال تعالى ثم انصرفوا صرف الله قلوبهم بأنهم قوم لا يفقهون. From Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 127, where Allah Ta'ala says, and then they turned away So Allah turned their hearts away because they are a people who do not understand. Point number four. He encourages, rahimahullah, the importance of knowledge and teaching. And we were going by this chain of narrators one time, and it had Az-Zuhri. This is one of the scholars in the chain. So he stopped for a while, and he said that Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, he said, pertaining to knowledge, no one loves it except the male men, and no one hates it except their females. And he used to say, rahimahullah, or he did not eat fruit, rahimahullah, because it would make his memory weak. And he would say, whoever wants all of this knowledge, then he misses all of it. Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullah, he would comment on this speech of Zuhri by saying that Az-Zuhri spoke the truth. And then he would say, whoever wants all of the knowledge, then he will miss all of it, or he would not obtain all of it. And that is because whoever wants to get the knowledge in 10 days or a month or a year, and then afterwards he becomes bored, then he won't benefit at all. So the student of knowledge, it's an obligation upon him that he gets used to and becomes comfortable with seeking knowledge. Because what he does not understand today, then he will soon understand tomorrow or after the day after tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. So work hard before things that will busy you or distract you come your way. Because indeed, the human being does not know when something will come and busy him from seeking the knowledge. Umm Abdullah, the daughter of the Shaykh, she comments here, as she says, this speech is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said when he said, بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا أو يمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in this authentic hadith, hurry to do deeds, meaning good deeds, before the fitan comes like a dark night. A man will wake up as a believer and find himself a kafir in the evening. Or he will be a believer in the evening and wake up as a disbeliever, selling his deen for worldly gain. Point number five. The Shaykh, he encouraged to be patient with the ones who you are giving da'wah to. And that is, he would say, because amongst them is the ignorant, and amongst them is the stubborn, and amongst them is the envious, and amongst them is the fasiq, or the one who is outside of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال الله تعالى وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. And when the ignorant address them, they say peace, or meaning a gentle word, or as Allah intends. This is from Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 63. Verse number 63. وقال تعالى وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَا نَبْتَغِي الْجَاهِلِينَ. From Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 55, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, and whenever they hear vain talk, they turn away from it. And they say, for us is our deeds, and for you are your deeds, Salamun alaykum, peace be upon you. We do not desire the ignorant. The Shaykh, he says, Rahimahullah, so teach the Sunnah until Allah makes it easy for you to have helpers. Fasbir sabran jameela. Allah, he says, be patient with a beautiful patience. And while we were going by this hadith of Abu Hurairah in Sahih Muslim, he said, قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزالون يسألونك يا أبا هريرة حتى يقولوا هذا الله فمن خلق الله قال فبين أنا في المسجد إذ جاءني ناس من الأعراب فقالوا يا أبا هريرة هذا الله فمن خلق الله فأخذ حصا بكفيه فرماهم ثم قال قوموا صدق خليلي. He said to me, meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, this is Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu speaking, the people would not stop asking you, Abu Hurairah, until they say, this is Allah, so who created Allah? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, so while I was in the masjid, when some people from the desert, Arabs or the Bedouins, came to me and they said, O Abu Hurairah, this is Allah, so who created Allah? So he grabbed a handful of pebbles and he threw it at them, and then he said, get up, my close companion has spoken the truth, meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Khalili, meaning my close friend, or referring to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Muqbil will comment on this hadith. The Bedouins or the desert Arabs, it's necessary that you are gentle or easy with them, and not to be hard with them, rather to teach them. The Bedouins are the Arabs that are not from the cities, and they are a little hard and difficult, and because of that, the Shaykh had advised to be gentle and easy with them and not to be hard with them, but to teach them as they were the ignorant. Wallahu a'lam. Advice number 6. كما أن the Shaykh, as he would advise to be easy with the people and not to chase the people away from the deen of Allah, he would say, it is important for the student of knowledge to be easy. And that does not mean that he should be an authorizer of everything in the deen of Allah. But rather, whenever he finds a liberty or a license, then he is happy for the Muslims with it. Just as Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he says, the scholar is the one who is easy to the people. But as far as being hard and difficult, then everyone does this well. As far as the common affairs, then it is important that the people are tied to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, and not to make the common affairs your main concern, but rather to make the people love the Book and the Sunnah, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah. And that is because if they love that, then they will submit and they will stay far away from the things that are prohibited. And it's feared for the one who is too hard that he will chase the people from the deen of Allah and then he would get some of the sin. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَيَقُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بُعِثْتُ بِالْحَنَفِيَّةِ السَّمْحَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, be easy and don't be hard. And he would say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have been sent with the easygoing religion. Advice number 7. And in light of this, he, rahimahullah, When he would speak about the issue of boycotting the Muslim, he would say, it is important or necessary that you look at who you are boycotting. Is your boycotting going to lead to the one who you are boycotting his guidance? Or will your boycotting of him increase him in his arrogance and going away from the truth? Because maybe he would join up with the socialists or the Ba'athis or the Makarama or other than them from the people of deviance and who are astray. And does your boycotting, does the one who you're boycotting, is he even bothered by you boycotting him? The Shaykh is asking these questions, wallahu alam, to show that you're boycotting the Muslim is because you believe that it will bring him back to that which is correct. But if you believe that it would only increase him in what he's in, then you won't boycott him, because it might lead him to something even worse than what he was into from the beginning. And then the Shaykh, he says, is the one you're boycotting even concerned about you? Meaning, if you're boycotting someone and he isn't even concerned or even thinking about you, then your boycott is not even going to benefit. So what are you boycotting him for anyway? Wallahu a'lam. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, and some of the people have definitely transgressed the bounds or the limits of boycotting. And they must take a look at the benefit for the person and for Islam. Meaning that the end result of the boycott is a benefit for the one who was being boycotted, and it's a benefit for Islam. Or as we had mentioned before, we covered one of the books of the ulama, Bakr Abu Zayd, around the topic of boycotting, that boycotting is similar to, as we said, like a spanking. You're going to beat your child to make him better. But if he gets so big that you're going to try to beat him and he's going to fight you back or what have you, then it won't benefit. Then you try to move on to some other means. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Point number 8. As a person being away from his homeland or a stranger in another land, this is, being a stranger in another land is difficult on the soul. So you would see him, meaning my father, Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah, making the students patient and reminding them of the benefits of being patient. She's referring to here, wallahu a'lam, that the students of knowledge, they leave their countries to go to the lands of the ulama to learn from them. And that in those lands, they're away from their families and friends, and it's difficult on the soul, which was the case with many of the people who went to study with the Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah. So he would try to make the students patient as they were homesick, and to remind them of the benefits and the reasons that they went out to seek the knowledge and what have you, wallahu alam. She said from his speeches that being a stranger, being strange or away from your homeland, that the only people who do this are the real men. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his town, and so did the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And some of the scholars, they would say that knowledge is foreign. So traveling, and the traveling is a blessing and a benefit. And that the thing that you obtain out of difficulty then you become more eager and concerned about that thing that you acquired. But the things that you acquire normally or easily, then you're not too concerned about them. Except with the example of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he didn't travel at all because his parents prevented him. But even though that was the case, rahimahullah, he heard from the ulama of Yemen and he was benefited by them. Here they're using Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah as an example, as most of the scholars and the people of knowledge had to travel around to the different countries in order to gain knowledge from the people of knowledge, except that Allah blessed him not to be from amongst those who traveled, and he still obtained the knowledge. Or as we had in our days with the late Shaykh Ibn Baz Ibn Uthaymeen, that they remained there in Arabia and they were benefited by the scholars of their area. Walhamdulillah. He says, and we are now in the times of strangeness or being foreign. And perhaps a father would make mockery of his son. And oh, how many people are weak, and oh, how many people are oppressed. Advice number 9. He would advise his students to trust in their teachers so that they could benefit from their teachers. He said, this is the case of those who are true and sincere, and that they want to benefit from the community. To benefit from those who are qualified, or as the Shaykh said. He says, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he says, which means, O student of knowledge, go to Hamad ibn Zayd and seek knowledge from him, and then preserve that knowledge. And it's not like Jaham or Thawr or Amr ibn Abid. He was showing here, if you want to seek knowledge, seek the knowledge from the people of Ahl Sunnah, and don't seek the knowledge from the people of Bid'ah, Wallahu A'lam. And some of them, they used to say, if you are looking for a good sitting companion, then sit in the circles of this particular scholar, because in it is tranquility and dignity, and he's qualified to be from the people of knowledge, or something like that. Wallahu a'lam. Advice number 10. He would warn from the fanaticism or false fanaticism, even if it was in defense of your closest relative. And he would say, narrating the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ ضَرَبَ الْخُدُودِ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ وَدَعْوَى بِدَعْوَى الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَدَعَى بِدَعْوَى الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ He is, this from the hadith, he is not from amongst us the one who slaps the cheeks and rips open the clothing and calls with the call of jahiliyyah. And this encompasses the fanaticism, the ignorant fanaticism, and the hizbiyyah, and the madhhabiyya, or the nationalism, or the tribalism, or the blind following of the madhhabs, or the fanatical blind following of the madhhabs, or something like that. Wallahu a'lam. The Shaykh, he says, the sunnah does not divide, and there is no division with us whatsoever, but rather it is the arrogant pride of ignorance that has divided. The Shaykh, he says, as far as the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ana an-nabiyyu la kadhib, ana ibn Abd al-Muttalib," where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I am the prophet without a I am the prophet, no lie." I am Ibn Abd al-Muttalib, or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. The Shaykh, he says, there is no harm if there is no belittling or looking down on the other people. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ is saying here that I'm the son of Abdul Muttalib, meaning I'm from the family of Abdul Muttalib, from the Hashimi family and the Qurayshi tribe. But he wasn't saying that to belittle the people. He was just saying that to recognize his lineage, as the Shaykh is explaining. Wallahu a'lam. The 11th direction or piece of advice is that the Shaykh used to warn against hizbiya or partisanship, or as we explained in some of the other lessons before, and against the stinking bid'ah or innovations, and to sit with the people of innovation or hizbiya. He would say, may the mercy of Allah be upon him, indeed working with the people of bid'ah, it will dilute the da'wah. And this is what made the massacre in Afghanistan for the Muslims, because they were all mixed up together. The Hizbis with the Sufis and the Ikhwanis. We must differentiate ourselves and to stay far away from every mubtadir or every innovator. This is what I advise with, to stay away from him, because they are the people of deviance. Just as Abu Qilaba would say, don't sit with the people of desires and bid'ah, because indeed I am not safe that you will dip into their deviance or be immersed in their deviance, or they will confuse some of the things that you used to know. The Shaykh, he says, and I have certainly seen the backs broken of the people of bid'ah by two things. The first thing is al-jarh wa ta'dil, or declaring the people not right, or declaring them right, or something like that. And the second affair is distinction, and that is to separate yourselves from them, and not to sit with them, and not to attend their lectures. Abdullah, hafazallah, the Shaykh's daughter, she said, and this has been recorded, this piece of benefit and advice was recorded on the day of Jumu'ah in the year 1420 Hijra. The 12th piece of advice, the Shaykh, he advises to leave off blind following in the deen in general, and to leave off blind following him in particular. He would say, beware of blind following me, because who am I that you all would blind follow me? And if we were to be blind followers, then we would have blindly followed Ahmed ibn Hanbal. Rather, we would have blindly followed Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He would say, the only one who blind follows me is a saqit, or a lowly, no good person. The scholars have agreed that the blind follower is not from the people of knowledge, as Ibn Abdul Barr, he said. And Ibn Hazm, he would say, the example of the blind follower is like the example of a man on a dark night. Someone gives him a lamp, and he says, I don't need a lamp. So he blows out the light, and he remains lost and wandering. Allah has given you the light. Then afterwards, you're going to say, I'm a blind follower. It's important for the student of knowledge to be better than a cashier or a teller. The cashier counts his money not even while he's looking at something else. And he knows what is counterfeit from what is real, showing the expertise of the cashier. He says, the student of knowledge, it is necessary that he has a good insight or good knowledge, that he knows the truth from falsehood. And he knows the counterfeit from the real deal. The biggest disease that has entered upon the Muslims is blind following. I bear witness to that. Wallahu musta'an. Alaykum salatu wa akbar. And the Shaykh's students pay good attention to this advice. And he has lost and failed the one who says that the students of Shaykh Muqbil are blind following him. Because if you would hear them, and if you would hear them correcting or motioning against what my father, rahimahullah, motioning against him, whenever they would hear something from him that they didn't deem to be proper or that they didn't understand. So after that, will it be said that indeed they are blind following him? Indeed, this is serious. إِن يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They only say lies. And how many issues that they understood from, and how many issues that they understood them different than the Shaykh understood the issues himself, rahimahullah. The advice number 13. The Shaykh would advise with safety and not revolting or agitating the people against the criminal leaders, except that when they saw clear kufr. But even when they saw clear kufr from their leaders, they would not make a move until these affairs or conditions were fulfilled. A, that the Muslims had enough power and were capable to handle the situation. B, that there will not be any harm or any war amongst the Muslims. But that the Muslims that aren't fighting would be in their places, and the Muslims who are fighting would be in a different place doing the fighting. This is what I think he says, Wallahu A'lam. C, that the Muslims would be able to handle the affairs themselves without seeking the aid of America or other than them from the disbelieving nations, and that they would not be inclined towards the leaders, the deceptful leaders or the traitor leaders of the Muslim countries. And if it was said to them, don't help the Muslims, then they wouldn't help the Muslims. Wallahu A'lam. Point number 14, he would advise to be eager or concerned about the reputation of al-Islam. And from his speech around this issue, is that the lands of disbelief in our time are the lands of war. And that is because they don't pay the jizya. But it is not permissible to take their wealth, because in doing so is doing bad to Islam. So that the people would think that Islam is a religion of deception and a religion of traitors and stealing, or treason and stealing. And those who do not embrace Islam because of these actions of the Muslims, they will say that you are thieves and that you are liars and traitors, and that when you break and when you make your promises, you break them. But rather it should be said that Islam is free from this. And whenever you find the Muslims doing this being their case, then they are doing bad to themselves. I just want to take a quick minute to reiterate this point. as some of the Muslims, unfortunately, in the past and in the present have been tested with this. They say, here in America, we're at war with the American government because the American government makes war on the Muslims. And because of that, we can take anything we want from the kafir because we are at war with them. And this is not correct. And this is doing bad to the people. And this is making Islam look ugly. And Islam is free from their actions. And the Muslims who this is their case, they should be corrected and to come back to understanding the importance of defending the reputation of the beautiful deen of Al-Islam. Point number 15. From the reasons that a person would seek or acquire beneficial knowledge, the Shaykh rahimahullah would say, from the best reasons that the best ways that a person could obtain beneficial knowledge are, number one, at-taqwa. As Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. From Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 28, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, O you who believe, fear Allah and believe in His Messenger. You will be given two rewards of mercy, of His mercy. And He will give you a light that you would walk by it. And He Ta'ala would say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. From Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 29, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, O you who believe, if you fear Allah, then Allah would give you the criterion. And He will forgive you of your bad deeds, and He will forgive you of your sins. The second way to acquiring beneficial knowledge is by al-ikhlas, or sincerity to Allah. And that is because indeed, the one who is not sincere, then he's not able to continue seeking this knowledge. As he will become lazy and bored and tired. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصُ. Isn't the deen supposed to be sincerity for Allah, or isn't the deen sincerity to Allah? Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 3. And in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Jundub ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ سَمَّعَ سَمَّعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَمَنْ رَأَى رَأَى اللَّهُ بِهِ. Where the Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, whoever does something to be heard, then Allah will let him be heard. And whoever does something to be seen, then Allah will let him be seen for that. And from the ways to perfect the ikhlas or the sincerity, firstly, is by belief or iman in the qadr. And the second is by looking at the weakness of a person and his deficiency. As he's not able to control for himself benefit or to prevent himself from evil, let alone to be able to handle or control anything other than that. And the third thing is a zuhud in the dunya, or leaving alone the beautiful things of this world. Number three, at-tawakkul ala Allah, or true reliance upon Allah. Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. From Surah At-Talaq, verse number 3. And whoever relies upon Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. And entrusting his affairs with Allah. For example, with the affairs of marriage. As Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَمَا مِن دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْضَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. From Surah Hud, verse number 6, where Allah Ta'ala says, and there is not a creature on earth except that the provisions for it is by Allah. And He knows their resting place and their other places. And everything is written in a clear book. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. From Surah Al-Ankabut, verse number 60, where Allah Ta'ala says, and any animal or creature you don't carry its provisions, Allah provides for it and for you. And He is the all-hearer, the all-knower, or as Allah tends by His statement. And the community that we are living in, it doesn't help us to do good. Your family holds you back, and likewise your wife, she holds you back. And your father, he holds you back. And if you know that, then I advise you not to waste your time, but to be eager to do that which would benefit you. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. Be eager to do that which would benefit you and seek assistance in Allah and don't feel incapable. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا تزول قدم عبد حتى يسأل عن أربع ومنها عن عمره فيما أفنى. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the 2 feet of a servant will not slip until he is asked about 4. And from amongst them, he will be asked about his age. How did he spend his time? Meaning that a person's soul would not be taken except that he will be asked about these things. Wallahu a'lam. Point number 4 from amongst the ways of acquiring beneficial knowledge is to sit with the students of knowledge, those who are very concerned about their time, and to study with together, and to be concerned about writing down the benefits and the rare points, and to be aware of blind following, because indeed blind following is deviance and blindness. Point number 5, to stay away from problems. Point number 6, the beautiful things that, at any rate, he's saying that these are examples of things that would and help you to acquire beneficial knowledge. Allahu Akbar, Allah. Bismillah. The 7th point from amongst the ways that will help you to acquire beneficial knowledge, Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahullah, he says, to guard your health. Because perhaps a person would be tested with a sickness in his chest that would make him forget the Quran. So be concerned with what you eat and what you drink, and be concerned with cleanliness to the best of your ability. And Allah would make it easy. The students of knowledge, Allah makes it easy for them. And there were some of our scholars who would not eat certain foods, like Az-Zuhri and Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Anbari, and like apples and other things, of which the basis of which they're naturally bitter or cold. And the last thing he says, to be used as a way to help you acquire beneficial knowledge, is the night salat. These are 15 of pieces of advice and direction from the Shaykh Muqbil. There are 22 pieces mentioned. We'll finish the rest of this off maybe tomorrow evening, inshallah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. There's a question or a comment. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. If a person wanted to be a student of Aqidah and is not able to sit under the scholars, or in my case is a woman, what steps or where would I begin in my studies? For example, do I take an Aqidah and begin to memorize it and read about the subjects that's in the Aqidah? Jazakallahu khairan. Today, alhamdulillah, it's very easy for us to sit under the scholars. Not with the way that, the superficial way that's on the tongues of many of the people nowadays, but in reality. As this evening, myself and you all, we have sat with one of the scholars who's not living anymore. This is Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah. As his daughter sat with him and recorded the advice. Even though we're not there, we were able to purchase the book and benefit from him, even after his death, rahimahullah. Sahih al-Bukhari has been translated into English. We never met Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, who's from Uzbekistan and lived over 1,200 years ago. But his knowledge was written down, and it was recorded, and it was learned and understood, and passed on from generation to generation up into our times. And now we can sit with the book that Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he wrote, and to read it and benefit from it. So the books of the scholars, and these are much of the treasures that have been left behind by the scholars, we're able to read them and benefit from them. And also the same thing with the cassette tapes, or nowadays with the CDs, or as they do it on the internet, that we're able to listen to lectures of the people of knowledge to get an understanding. To be more specific in this issue of Aqidah, alhamdulillah, many of the books of the Aqidahs of our Salaf al-Salih have been translated. Many of them have been translated in classes here at Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah, alhamdulillah. If you were to take a look in the Maktabat Ahl al-Sunnah, in the bookstore, you'd see many of the Aqidahs of the Salaf al-Salih has been translated. And one in particular, the Aqidah of al-Tahawi, with the explanation of Ibn Abil-Izz, which is a very detailed explanation, mashallah, that's been translated into English. And that's a very strong and beneficial work. And we can benefit from it and from other books on the issue of Aqidah. So I would advise that this person, this sister, take advantage of the tapes that are available and the books to sit down and begin to learn the Muslim belief. May Allah make her and us successful. I don't know if the brothers had any comments or questions on what was presented. If so, there were a few comments, inshallah, we'll add them. The Sheikh advised with Aqidah first, and the sister, mashallah, was very concerned with that. And that's important. We have covered, alhamdulillah, in our masjid maybe over 15 different aqidahs of the aqaid of the salaf. And we sell maybe 15 more in the bookstore. And it's very important for the Muslims to be concerned with learning the Muslim belief. Otherwise, you'll be like Father Hoffman, I mentioned before, the Catholic priest, 72 years old, who doesn't even know what he believes in. But the Muslims should know what he believes in. Our belief is clear, walhamdulillah. And it's detailed in verses in Allah's book and from the sunnah of his messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's for the Muslims to be concerned with that. And in particular, the tawheed, or the belief of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the memorizing and understanding of Surah Al-Ikhlas. Then this is sufficient, or this is a lot to help a person understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he advised with uprightness. And this is important, especially in our days and times where the Muslims have begun to live lives of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to live lives of sin. Rather, even some of the Muslims unfortunately believe that just because they're a Muslim and the Muslim is better than the disbeliever, that it's okay for him to live a life of sin and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So long as I'm a Muslim, I'm going to paradise. Wallahi, a Muslim has to work. And even after you work, it's going to be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He show His mercy on us. The Shaykh, he had advised with knowledge and teaching. And we encourage the brothers and the sisters to attend classes, to read books, to listen to tapes, to learn Allah's book, the Quran, and the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, many of the Muslims around the world do not have any books translated into their language. They don't even have a translation of the Quran in their language. That means that every Muslim child raised in those areas will not be able to understand anything of the Quran until they learn Arabic, or until the day comes when the Quran has been translated into their language. We don't have that excuse. So why aren't we reading the translation of the Quran and increasing our knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book? In other places, as one of the brothers had mentioned to us in Bangladesh, he said that 80% of the population is illiterate. That means even if the books were available, they can't even read them to benefit. That's not our case, alhamdulillah. All of us are literate. We have to take advantage of what's been available. Books aren't for just the pretty colors that they have. As we've heard many of the brothers talking about, I have the pretty green book and the other color book and what have you. But what's important is to read and understand and learn. The Shaykh used to advise and emphasize this, and we advise and emphasize this also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. But you have to busy yourself, your time with this. And we're going to probably mention the advice later on of the Shaykh discouraging from the evil sitting companion. And he said nowadays the evil sitting companion is the movie and the video. And if he only knew about the internet, he might have added that too. Wallahu al-musta'an. The Shaykh, he says, be patient with the one who you are calling, as amongst them is the ignorant and the stubborn and the jealous and the sinner. And that is that when you're calling someone to Islam, or when you're calling the Muslims to that which is correct of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your concern is to teach and educate, and to be patient and gentle in making your call, understanding the situation of the one you're calling. There are more comments. We'll try to hold them for tomorrow and establish the salat. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah.